The three readings that we have for this weekend are readings that I think deserve a deeper look so that we can understand them in more than just a surface kind of way. In our middle reading, Paul was talking to the early Christian community about the fact that Greeks and Jews, the people who were beginning to hear about Jesus' message, really wanted signs and proofs about who Jesus was and about what he was doing and what he had done while he was living here on earth. Equally important, though, what he was doing now in the age of resurrection as people were coming forward to proclaim their faith. And Paul reminded the early Christian community that in seeking signs and wonders, they were somewhat missing the point of Jesus, because Jesus as the Christ was the only sign that God would give of the truth of the wonderful, radical goodness of all human life and the potential for all people to share in the everlasting glory and goodness of God. Our other two readings try to have us take a look at what that might mean in the way that we live our lives of faith in our everyday world. The first reading talks, of course, about the giving of the Ten Commandments, which might not at first seem like very good news, because many of us don't like really to be told what to do. We like to establish our own freedom and do what we think is right and decide on what would be best for us. And it's sometimes difficult to listen to other people telling us that there are certain ways we should live as a community of faith and as a community in our social life. So too, the Israelites found it hard at times to live together the way they ought to live. And so the commandments were given to them not as a punishment, but as an invitation to take a look at life and to try to think more deeply about how people ought to live in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. And so the first three commandments talk to us about our relationship with God and how we ought to put our relationship with God above everything else, because God is the center of the universe. God is the maker of creation. Try as we will to think about it sometimes, we are not the center of creation. No one of us is more important than another. No one of us is God. We are creation. We are the love and the beloved creation of God, but God is the center of our lives. And so we ought always to hold that as a model for how we approach our prayer and our everyday experience of the goodness of God. Equally important, the other seven commandments talk to us about how we ought to live with each other, how we ought to, in respecting ourselves and the uniqueness of our own individuality, ought also and need also to respect each other's individuality and goodness and the giftedness that each of us is to the other. And God knows in every generation, it seems difficult at times to live together in peace, in harmony, and with a genuine appreciation of the differences that God has created us in us by making us unique. The commandments were given to Israel, and the church upholds them as important as a gift from God to teach us how we ought to recognize that we are one family, living the gracious presence of God each and every day. Now we get to the gospel story, this very familiar story, perhaps one of the few times that we remember in Scripture where we see Jesus getting pretty upset, in fact, getting rather angry about what was happening in the temple area. It's important, I think, too, to go deeper into that so that we understand the real context of this story. At the time when Jesus lived, the Jewish community was under the special responsibility of Rome. Rome had overtaken the Jewish community, and so the Jews had to live in relationship with this foreign power over them. And that wasn't an easy thing to do. And so their leaders tried to help them understand how they could live faithful to God, but within that context of being an oppressed people. And over a period of time, what developed was a kind of tithing process where anyone who wanted to come into the temple area and enter the temple had to pay a kind of dues to get in. And there was established for each level of the economic cycle in the Jewish community certain things that they were to offer to God as sacrifice to get into the temple area. And so the money changers that were there to change the coin of some people who of a Jewish background who might live in other areas of the world. And when they came to the temple area, their coins had to be changed over. So there was a basic goodness in that idea. However, over time, as can become the pattern of laws that are made by people rather than God, the laws seem to become more important than the purpose for which the law was intended. And so what had happened was the temple area outside the temple had become a marketplace. People who were coming into the temple area couldn't even find a place that was silent enough to begin to ready themselves for prayer and offering what they wanted to in the temple. So that's what Jesus was upset about, the misuse of the original idea of people being able to give something in readiness to come into the temple. It had gotten to be extreme. And that's why Jesus was angry. It's an important thing, I think, to think about why the church would have us think about this in Lent. Because a lot of times we think anger is wrong. Anger as an emotion is never wrong. It's simply an emotion. It's what we let that anger force us to do or cause us to do that becomes the thing that becomes troublesome and difficult. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Anytime you and I see a system that's oppressing people and putting people down, that's standing in the way of one people accessing the rights that other people have, we have the right to justifiable anger. In fact, we have the necessity to strive to strike down that order that is oppressing people. That is part of the Christian message. So it's important for us, I think, this week, as we ponder moving into the last half of the Lenten season, how we abide in the Ten Commandments, how we live in relationship with God, and how we live in relationship with each other, but equally important to take a look at the responsibilities each of us has to call the truth the truth. And when we see something oppressing someone else, when we see something that we know isn't right, to take responsibility, and yes, sometimes that's fearful and perhaps dangerous, but to take the responsibility to try to right the system that is oppressive. God gives us the strength and the ability to do that through the strength we receive in becoming Christ's body and blood, in baptism, and every time we receive the Eucharist. So this week, I invite you please to ponder the way in which God is asking you to take responsibility in your faith life, to be a sign to others of God's gracious love, but also building justice in the world that needs to see the presence of God as the center of life. As we move day by day to live together better and in the reflection of God's love and grace.